If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me today to the book of Mark chapter 14. Jesus has been arrested, waiting trial. And I want to deal with this life of God that we have in our lives. This is not a sermon on the death, burial, or resurrection. It's a sermon on knowing and understanding who God is, what He is. And you'll be surprised as you turn into Mark 14. How many people can go to church, in a Spirit-filled church, and not understand the things that God has so graciously given us? St. Mark chapter 14, let's start reading with verse 66. Are you there? Yes, say amen. St. Mark chapter 14, verse 66. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked up on him and said, "And thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied, saying, "I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest." And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. Notice what he said. He denied first. Fear will always make you deny something that's true. Then he said something, saying, "I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest." Now, he had been walking with Jesus for at least 3 years or more. Jesus had 30 years of preparation and 3 years of application. There will always be more time for preparation than there is for application, because the application must always be right. That's why it takes great preparation to apply the oracle of God, the holy canon of God. But notice what he said there again in verse 68. But he denied, saying, "I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest." And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, "This is one of them." And he denied it again. And a little after, they stood by, said again to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto." Verse 71, but he began to curse. Good Lord, Peter. He began to curse. See, fear will also make you curse. And to swear. So not only was he cussing, he was swearing, saying, "I know not this man of whom you speak." And the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, "Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. I want to talk today, how I would say the title of this message is, understanding what I live. Understanding the Christ that is in me. Because if Christ is in me, the hope of glory, there's nowhere I can go, even if I wanted to sin, without being recognized as one of His followers, one of His disciples, one of His people that are called by His name. And for you ministers that have done wrong things in the sexual areas, I don't care even if you've lost with God. That calling and the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance, which means people will know you. Because once the glory of God has been accepted and received in someone's life, they're branded with that. And it's amazing to me how many people, especially in ministry, that don't live up to the oracle and to the respectability of the gospel. That character or integrity is born out of character. So I would say the title of the sermon is Understanding the Christ in Me, so that people will see who He is. Let's read this scripture here. Again, I neither know, verse 68, I neither know or neither understand. Now, that was a lie. Peter saw many things Jesus did. But when fear comes in to cloud your mind, it affects your faith. Fear tolerated, faith contaminated. Now, you see, you can live for God all your life and be sincere, but that's not enough. Sincerity is not enough by itself. Write that down. Many people are sincere, but could be sincerely wrong. Sincerity is not enough by itself. There must be stability. Time tries all, and endurance in a trial is the true test of character. See, you don't know who you are until you've been tested. Now, I don't pray for tests, because Jesus prayed against them. Pray that you enter not into temptations, tests, and trials. But if you happen to go through one, you ought to have enough sense to learn from it. Sincerity is not enough by itself. There must be stability. Time tries all, and endurance in a trial is the true test of character. During the hurricane times, when none of us were here because we had evacuated, me and Kathy put together in a hotel room a 9-point plan of what to do when we would come back upon this property and not even knowing if it was destroyed or not. So we made a conference call and found out directors and people that were head of major departments of our ministry and had a conference call. I was in San Antonio, some were here, I mean, they were all over the place. And I said, this is what we're going to do. Now, I made up my mind that no matter what the devil did or what he's done or what he's going to do, what I'm going to do is going to destroy anything that he might want to do. Me and Kathy prayed about what to do, how to do it, and we set into action a plan. And I remember telling Pastor David on the phone, I said, the first thing we got to do is have some church. I realized that some people's faith had been drained because of the stress of a hurricane season. Or the stress of those things. So the first thing to get people back into walking with God and having courage with God is faith. Faith cometh by hearing. So the word of God must be preached. Even our great Catholic friend, our Catholic father here at St. Charles Romero Church, he said, let's have church in the dark. That's a wonderful statement. Why? Because, see, that's where we receive our strength. But you see, you can be sincere, but it takes more than sincerity. You got to have stability. Because people are looking at you, and if you're a leader of the gospel, people don't want to go, I don't know. They want to say, what are we going to do concerning this situation? Leaders must make decisions. And a decision will affect people. So make sure it's the right decision. So sincerity is not enough by itself. There must be stability. Time tries all. And endurance in the trial is the true test of character. Now, when you understand that, then you'll understand this next point. We as believers say, I'm a believer, and I'm not a doubter. Now, listen to this point. We as believers should follow Christ fully. Now, I could preach an hour there. Freely, I could preach an hour there. Fearlessly, I could preach an hour there. Faithfully, I could preach an hour there. Let me say it again. We as believers should follow Christ fully, freely, fearlessly, and faithfully. See, distance from Christ is real danger. Nearness to Him is real safety. People say, Brother Jesse, how are you able to handle the stress of a major worldwide ministry in terms of just the financial stress of it? I mean, it's pretty heavy, you know, if you think about all the amount of people I employ all over the world that I have to pay. How do you do that? Well, I follow Jesus fully. I follow Jesus freely. I mean, if you notice that I'm a free man, why? Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set Jesse free from the law of sin. And let me help you. I don't even worry about sin. It's not my nature, so why should I worry about it? Who do you think you are? A free man. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free. Glory to God. So you know what? I'm not concerned about the sins of the world. Why? I have the answer to stop it if they'll listen to me. So let me say it again. As I'm a believer, we should follow Christ fully. Glory to God. That means every opportunity that we can show ourselves to God and people. Because remember, some people will never see Christ, but they'll see the Christ in you. You see what I'm saying? That's following him fully, freely, and then fearlessly. Have enough guts to stand up and say, instead of being worried about offending people, say, I believe the whole counsel of God. I walk and work in the fullness of the gifts of the Spirit, the nine gifts, the nine, everything, the fruits of it, every part of it. And the people say, well, I don't believe that. You don't have to, but bless God, if you want to be full and you want to be free and you want to be fearless and you want to be faithful, you better believe this Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Somebody shout. Somebody. Now the problem with Peter, when it came time for the test, he thought he was following God fully. He thought he was following God freely. He thought he was following Jesus Christ fearlessly and faithfully. But when the test came, it showed a crack in his character. Now thank God through that, he learned something. And because he learned something, God gave him the keys. He said, on this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Do you see what I'm saying? In other words, there's more to do in the future. Forget this. I don't care how bad the thing you're going through. You will get through it because there's another destiny and another destination for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Glory to God. So, we as believers should follow Christ fully, freely, fearlessly, and faithfully. Now, how do you do that? Write this down. Distance from Christ is real danger. That means if you miss church, you back up a notch. Now don't get into bondage. People, oh, I can never miss church. I didn't say that. You said that. You said, then you can get into bondage. No, distance from Christ is real danger. Nearness to Him is real safety. There's been times that I couldn't be here. That's just common sense. Sometimes some things will happen. But bless God, while I wasn't here, I was stirring up the gift of God within my life. But you see, I didn't use that to be lazy to sleep at the house. Some of y'all watch me by television and say, well, yeah, I don't go to church. I just watch you on television. Lazy. The Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. Did it say that? Say amen. Did it say that? That's what it said. Why? Because you may not realize that the person next to you right now, you're sucking their faith off of them. They're sucking the faith off of you. We're actually being strengthened because we're going from faith to faith. That's the corporate anointings that are flowing all over this congregation right now, even as I speak. And yet you may not even know the person next to you. And if you sit in by somebody not saved, they got that itchy feeling. What's the problem here? Glory to God. It's that love of Christ that's washing away that veneer of sin and iniquity. So, we as believers should follow Christ fully. Oh, I love that. Freely, fearlessly, faithfully. You know, I do that with my giving. I get dangerous with my giving. Me and Kathy get crazy sometimes. Lord, see, the devil goes, what are you going to do? And man, I said, you know, I've had Kathy just say, bless God, I feel it coming on. I said, do your thing, mama. Boy, and I mean, man, she's put a chunk down. I went, oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. And she said, follow me, Jesse. I back you, Mom. I back you fully, freely, fearlessly, and faithfully. Glory to God. The other day I gave away something. She went, oh, Jesse. Well, it was just, you know, everybody thought I was going to get $2,500. Out of my bragging, I gave $25,000. I gave $25,000. Kathy go, oh, glory. I said, follow me, Mama, fully, freely. Come on, girl, fearlessly. I said, you know, hallelujah, faithfully. Glory to God. That's what I do when I follow her when she shop. That Holy Ghost tongue come on. Shop a lot. 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 That's the first tongue. Shop a lot. Shop a lot. I learned that from Mark Barclay. Glory to God. I just follow fully, freely, fearlessly, faithfully. I've had women in store say, he just stands there and takes it. Happy wife, happy life. Look at the lady. Look at the men. I knocked my tie loose. I'm going to have to tighten that again. Hallelujah. Do you see what I'm saying? See, Peter thought he was. No, you don't think this. You know this. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, how can you imagine that? I neither know nor understand and then start cussing. Blankety blank. I said blankety blank. My blank. All blank. And Jesus look at it and go, oh, God. But you know, who's the first person Jesus talked to after the resurrection other than them women? I'm talking about when he went to his disciples. Now, why did he talk to women first? Because they came out to him. Well, it was all those men. They were scared. But them women, bless God, we're going to the tomb. We're going to the tomb. Hallelujah. We're going to the tomb. Glory to God. Who gonna roll the stone away? Don't make no difference. We'll get one of the sisters to knock that stone out the way. Them sisters can handle that stuff. We're going to the tomb. They had more faith. The other 12 going, oh, Jesus, lover of my soul. Jesus, let's get out of this hole. Jesus, come on. You want something done, you better get a woman to do it. Come on, ladies, I'm setting you free here. Hallelujah. Behind of a great man is a woman rolling her eyes. Glory to God. Look, I get Kathy excited. Her legs starts moving when I say things. Boy, David. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see? And that's why he talked to them first. See? Because if you come to him, he'll talk to you. But he had to go get Peter. And then when he showed up in the room, they went, oh! Most women would have fell on the floor. Jesus, Jesus. Most men went, oh, back. Back. Glory to God. Let me deal with that part of it. Why was he denying? Now, this man was tough as a nail. Peter would slap you, pray for you, and cuss you at the same time. You ain't never been cussed out till you've been cussed out by a Christian. They've been saving up for years. And they got to repent, but buddy, they can flat lay it on you when they turn it loose. All over you. You know it. Look at y'all laughing because you did it. Listen to this point. It is possible to have physical courage to go and do the deed, but not moral courage to tell the truth and see it through. Notice the physical courage of Peter. I'm going to come back to that point in a minute. He cuts a guy's ear off and said, I'll kill you if you touch Jesus. Peter runs right slap into the tomb after the women told him that he had been resurrected. He's the first one in there. She seemed like he the man, right? But John, his brother, or his cohort, goes in court, and Peter stays out. Notice the difference. What was the difference between Peter and John? Peter had great physical courage, but John had more moral courage. My God, when they were just accusing Jesus of everything, Peter stayed out and said, I need to know, no understanding. I deny, I ain't going there because he was scared. John walked right slap into that court and says, he's my Lord. He's my Savior. That was moral courage. See, there was something in John. You know why? John was so close to Jesus. He stayed close to him. See, danger. Let me go back to that first point. I said, let me read that again. When distance from Christ is real danger, but nearness to him is real safety. That was the difference between John and Peter. Peter said, oh, bless God, I'll get it done. But what happens when the rubber meets the road, when all of a sudden it's your skin on the line, he says, I need to know, no understanding, man. But John, because he had put his head on his chest, he stayed close to him. He said, I'll go with him to heaven. I'll go with him to the grave. I'll go with him in court. It makes no difference. Wherever he goes, I go. Let me read that statement again. It is possible to have physical courage to go and do the deed, but not moral courage to tell the truth and see it through. It's very hard sometimes to tell the truth. Sometimes when someone talks to you and you see their problem and the answer is harder than the problem. But if you want them to change, you have to just speak the truth. And the Bible says the truth shall set you what? Free. And whom the Son is set free is what? Free. Isn't that amazing? You see, and I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes the truth is too hard. You see, if you get caught in a lie, best thing to do is tell the truth. I say that to myself. I say it to everyone here. You see what I'm saying? Now, it's a problem. And it's sorry that people have to be caught in lies. Think about our presidents that have lied to us. I didn't have to say the name. That finger did it, didn't it? How about years later? All those things. Gotta watch what you say. Somebody's taping you. But you see, truth will stand. If people would say, I have sinned. That's what was so wonderful about David. King David, you had to catch him. But when you caught him, he didn't go, ugh. He said, I have sinned. See, is that amazing? Truth will keep you. So if you want to know, if you want to understand Christ in the fullness of who he is, and you want people to understand you, you must always walk in truth. If you'll walk in truth, the truth will get you to where you're supposed to be. Let me say it again. You can have great physical courage, but you must have moral courage to tell the truth and see it through. Or it is possible to have physical courage to go and do the deed, but not moral courage to tell the truth and see it through. Now, the reason why you need to know and understand Christ in this manner is Revelation 3:11. Now, I know he wrote that 2,000 years ago. If you want to turn to it, you can. He says, behold, or look, I come quickly. This is what the Lord said. Behold, I come quickly. And people say, well, that's a long time. Well, according to his clock, he's only been gone 2 days. That's a weekend in the Lord's time frame. Behold, that's only 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. Behold, I come quickly. Then he says this, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. In other words, there's somebody out wanting your position, wants your crown, wants what you have worked so hard for. And if you fall by the wayside, somebody's going to get it. Because someone's going to have enough stability in them, not just sincerity, to get this thing done. Because they're following Christ fully, freely, fearlessly, and faithfully. That's in everything I did. You know, when I first got saved, I could really love the Lord. I didn't know nothing about giving. Let me get on that for a minute. I didn't know much about giving, you know. But, I mean, I just say I love the Lord. And I never forget when people said, well, you know, you got to give. Give what? Money. Money. What do you mean money? They said, well, you got to give your tithe. I thought they said my tires. I didn't understand the word tithe. Tires. They need some tires at the church? No, tithe. Oh, tithe. What's tithe? Well, you give 10% of your income. I said, is that in the Bible? They took me right to it. I said, well, since it's in there, that's what I'm going to do. I never quarreled with that. But I remember the first time I reached in that pocket and put a tithe, a 10%, first thing the devil said, there goes your money. And I said, that's correct. There goes my money. But look at devil, look what's coming. Look at God's money coming to me. Now look how small my seed is and how big that harvest is. Yeah, my money, yeah, there goes your money. But God's money was already being sent to me. And in the midst of all kinds of trouble, I've always come up and come out and come over. Always come up, come out, and come over in everything I've ever done. And I did it, I said, because I thought, well, they used to try to figure that out. You don't need no theologian to try to explain that to you. He says, give and it shall be given unto you. What part of that you don't understand? Now, most people understand the giving part, but they don't understand the receiving part, see? And it shall be given to you. Or, no, I don't want nothing. Well, you just shut down the principle. You actually stifled the seed. And the seed says, well, I'll not produce a harvest if they won't accept it. I'm preaching, Ben, y'all shouting right now. You see that. So when you understand that, then you say, behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Now, I said a while ago, if you're having problems, like he starts cussing and swearing, then you need to read Job 11:14. If iniquity be in thy hand, that's twisted things, twisted words, put it far away. That's Job 11:14. And let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. I don't let wickedness dwell in this tabernacle. Why? How do you do that? By protecting your ears, protecting your eyes, protecting your hands. You know, do you understand? You have to protect your eyes. You have to protect your ears. You have to protect your hands. See, God's not going to do that. That's your job. Because all of us, we're in the world, but we're not of it. But do you know how many places you walk around where there's sin and iniquity? It's kind of like germs. Do you realize how many people have touched a door handle? How many of you, when you go to the bathroom in a public place, you don't want to touch the handle when you come out? Hold your hand up. Be honest. And you just wash them. You go. Now, you know, you can't see that on that handle. But it's there. So what you do, how many of you get a napkin or something and grab that handle? Now, watch it. How many of you just throw it on the floor as you walk out? You know, just like that. No, you know, you don't want to be illiterate. You know what I'm saying? But you see, you don't want that. Well, do you realize how much of that is around us in the spirit? It's called iniquity. Twisted things. Start speaking evil. Now, if you speak the truth, It could sound like being judgment, but it's not. The truth will set you free. But when you start talking about people and saying things you shouldn't say because you're a little envious or jealous of them, that's iniquity. That's some of them germs on that handle that you're spreading around. And you get real close to somebody, you give them the flu. You spread a little iniquity on them. Not sin. You see, gossip comes camouflaged as concern. All right. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. Keep it to yourself. It's gossip, but it's come camouflaged as concern. You know, I'm concerned about Pastor. What are you concerned about? I don't like the way he preaches. I don't like him because he did this. See, that's gossip. That ain't concern. You see, that's iniquity. You see what I'm saying? Let me say it again. And look at the scripture, Job 11:14. If iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away. Let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacle. In other words, keep it away from you. So I have to guide my eyes. I have to guard my eyes, guard my ears, guard my hands. I have to do that. I've had some of the craziest things. I had a woman one time at 3 o'clock in the morning in Oklahoma City beating on my hotel door. She got to me. I don't know how she found me. She said, I know you're in there. Open up that door, you little white-headed man. I know you're in there. I called Kath. I said, it's a crazy woman. I said, don't you go open that door. I ain't open the door. I had to call the front desk. I said, there's a crazy woman out there. See, all I had to do is open up that door. You know what? If not, and I'm as pure and clean as could be. All people, if someone was standing there with a camera, that would have been in the paper the next day. So you have to guard your eyes, guard your hands. It's amazing. You'd be surprised. I'll just tell you something that happened to me two or three when I went to Australia. You know, I work out a lot. I do a lot of setups, and I do about 15 miles a week walking, and I used to run a lot, but I do a lot of walking now, what I call fast walking. So, you know, in other countries, the cultures are different. So, you know, I go to a hotel, and I said, do y'all have a health club or something like that? Oh, yes, sir. What floor is it? I said, do y'all have treadmills and some weights and things? Yes, sir. And they said, we also have sauna baths and steam baths. I like to do a sauna more than I do a steam bath. I used to like to do steam, but I prefer sauna better. I said, how much does that cost to do that? I'm going to be here for 2 or 3 days. As an Australian, it's part of their room thing. It's, just go ahead and use it as many times you want. I said, how long is it open? Well, they said, to adults, it's open 24 hours a day. Oh, I said, okay, great. So I got to think, well, after I finished preaching that night, if the anointing of God's still on me, instead of going to bed, and I might have went and eat a nice meal, I'd just go do my exercise, you know, work out all the off so I can sleep. Watch this. So this is a true story. So, I was feeling pretty good that night. Boy, I had finished preaching, anointing of God was on me. I was feeling real good. I thought, man, I ain't sleepy at all. Hallelujah. I said, I'm going to go work out. So I went, I got on that treadmill, and I took off. Boy, I mean, I did my 3 miles. I was smoking, boy. Hallelujah. I said, God, did all my dumbbells, got up and did 200 setups and all that kind of stuff. Boy, sweating like a mule, all that kind of stuff, you know. And then it said, as I passed by the sauna, it didn't have a light on. And I looked at it, I said, and he says, don't go in the sauna unless you take a shower. Because, you know, you want to sweat all over the place, you know. I guess that's them germs. So I went and take me a real shower. And it says men's department. It's in the man's area. But I noticed that the sauna and the steam were kind of like put together, was separated by a wall. So you walked out. This is the way this thing worked. You walked out to go into the sauna from the where the men's dressing room was and all kinds of stuff. But the health club was all in one place. So, man, I took a shower, you know, got all that sweat off me. I said, I'm going to go in that sauna. Now, it is 12:30 in the morning, or, you know, late at night. I go in there. So I'm looking for the switch. Where the switch for the light? I pop the light on. And I got born now. And I take water. Probably should have taken a steam. I take water and I put it over the rock. So I'm going to sit there and just really sweat out the whatever the stuff is. You know. I'm sitting there. All of a sudden the door opens about this wide, but I don't know who's coming in. And I heard this lady say, I'm going to take a sauna, and I'll be finishing in a few minutes, and I'll meet y'all out at the pool. So I said, it's a lady. And most time you have a men's sauna, a woman. I said, but this is a different country. She opens up the door and she has a towel on from here to here. She goes, hello. I said, hello. And then she takes the towel off. She's naked as a jaybird. I went, whoa, Jesus. What am I going to do? I didn't know what to do. I went, oh, Lord. She said, oh, it's hot in here. I said, yeah, it is. It's hot in here.
I said, excuse me.
Hit me. Get out of here right quick. Get out. She never thought twice about it.
Look at Kathy. I kid you.
Hey, it ain't my fault. I didn't know. So, you know, I called the front desk. I said, did you know that women and men, she don't have no clothes on. They said, that's normal. Said to myself, not where I'm from, it ain't normal. So watch this. I got out of that. And I could have just said that. You know how many miles I'm away from Kathy? But I know God. God would have showed Kathy. I got out of that. First, shun the very appearance of evil. And this wasn't an ugly woman. I mean, understand? So watch this. The next day, I'm in the hotel, and this lady comes up to me. Now, once you've seen somebody naked, it makes you nervous a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You go. She says, oh, how you doing, sir? I said, I'm doing fine. She said, I hope did I offend you? I said, no, you didn't. She said, because I know she just left. Was there something wrong? I said, no, nothing wrong. She says, what do you do? I said, I'm a minister of the gospel. Oh, she said, I love Jesus myself. I said, well, I am so glad. See, totally different culture. They ain't even thinking twice about that. This girl didn't have nothing nasty on her mind. Neither did I. But I wasn't going to stay there for let nasty come in my mind. Somebody shout, somebody. You know, and I thought, man, I got to find out the culture. So now, I went through that trial. I passed it. Now when I go overseas and I go in different countries, I say, excuse me, what is y'all culture here? Do y'all have separate facilities for men and women? Yes, we do. I said, does that mean women can come? No. I mean, thank you very much. You see what I'm saying? Now, I know me and I know the Lord, and I know the Lord wouldn't have wanted me in that situation. You see what I'm trying to say? But, you know, I've also preached in places where women were bare-breasted and never thought twice about it. Now, I wasn't preaching like this. Because they didn't even think twice about that neither. Well, you go on about your business and preach the gospel. You see what I'm saying? And, you know, it's amazing how much the anointing will begin to tell people how to act and react. All of a sudden, you'll find people start covering themselves. And you never told them to. That's knowing God and understanding Him. That your body is a holy thing. See what I'm saying? And should be made holy. So when that happened, I learned and I said, you know what? I said, that's my lack of intelligence. I should have found out about that. Because there's some things we say in America that is totally wrong in other cultures. There's some things they say over there that would just freak us all out. You see what I'm saying? But I made up my mind that I would not have iniquity in any way, shape, or form, and say, I couldn't help myself. No, you have to use some sense and work well within the confines, because you see, suppose Jesus would have showed up. And He could have, but I refuse to allow myself to walk in those kind of things. Now listen to this. Knowing the difference between relationship and fellowship is very essential in Christian development. See, if I'd have just had a relationship, I'd have stayed in that song. But I have a fellowship with God, which means this. After I leave, I want my reputation to be impeccable. I don't want to leave anything, anywhere, any stain on God. I want to be a reflection of Christ instead of casting a reflection upon Him. Even when I'm there and when I'm not there. Knowing the difference between relationship and fellowship is very essential in Christian development. Well, what does it mean? Fellowship is talking with Him. You see what I'm saying? No, hello, Jesus. Hi, Jesse. Most people pray to God. I don't really pray to God much. I talk to God a lot. I find praying is normally you got a list and you're asking Him for things. But I'm talking about fellowship and relationship. Relationship is knowing Jesus. And fellowship, you've been with Him so long, you understand it. You have you're not in the bondage. You just say, hello, Jesus. Hey, Jesse. All of a sudden, God begins to speak to you and minister life to you. God showed me several things to do during the hurricane thing. After it was over, what to do? He said, get on your motorcycle and drive over here. How did I know God was talking to me? Well, I fellowship with Him. I know Kathy inside and out. She knows me inside and out. Why? Well, not only are we married, but we fellowship with each other. Most of the time, if I'm going somewhere, I go with Kathy. I find sometimes, and let me just say, sometimes ministers want me to go to lunch with them. And I don't mind. Don't misunderstand me. I'll do it. But a lot of times I say, I always bring Kathy. I never think not to cut Kathy out. And, you know, just the way we are. You want to go to lunch with me? If you're going to lunch with me, you're going to lunch with Kathy, too. But sometimes Kathy says, why don't you and him go by yourself? Oh, are you okay? Because he might want to talk to me about something. I don't know. But, I mean, I don't just normally cut it out. Usually if I'm going somewhere, I'm going with her. And she's going with me. You see what I'm saying? And those kind of things, you know. There's some things men can't, like men shouldn't go to women's showers. Is that right? Baby shower, most of the time it's women. Well, okay, it's fine. But, you know, I don't normally do it. But she has to tell me. Because if I don't know, I'll just show up. And she say, oh, this is for the lady. Oh, okay, praise God, that's fine with me. I mean, yeah, I don't feel that I'm slighted anyway. Why? Why? Because I have a fellowship with her. And she'll have to start talking to me at 3 o'clock in the morning. She would say, Jesse, are you asleep? Well, I was. Hey, what you think about this? What you think about that? That kind of stuff. You know, you know why? Because when you know you can talk to someone freely. Well, I know that because I know my relationship with God. And sometimes I just start talking and praying the Holy Ghost for a while. And a lot of times I'll say, Lord, interpret that in me right now. And the interpretation will come out. And I'll be the only one in the car. I'll pray in tongues for 30 minutes in that car. I don't have the foggiest idea what the Holy Ghost said. But I don't leave it like that, brother. I said, Lord, if you don't mind, I'd like to know what the Holy Ghost said. All of a sudden, I begin to speak it out. But myself is hearing the Holy Ghost speak in English in me now instead of an unknown tongue. Now, some people say, I don't believe that. Well, that's why it never happens to you. You haven't got that close to God. I don't mean that in a rude sense or an aggressive. You just haven't got that close to God. You're afraid you might mess up. Well, you know, won't you trust the God that trusts you? Then there's times that God will say, go do this and go do that. There's been times I've been tired, David. I mean, really tired. I was going to just take a nap in that hotel. God says, get up and walk around this hotel. I said, well, I don't know nobody in this hotel. He said, you will in a few minutes. And I just start walking. And I've seen some people shaking their head. I said, are you looking for me? They go, excuse me? I said, the Lord sent me here. Oh, God, here come tears. It's amazing how many times that has happened. And the same thing with giving. One time someone gave me $200. I was excited about it. I said, what am I going to buy with this $200? The Lord said, go walk in the mall and give it away. I said, who am I going to give it to? He said, I'll show you. Sure enough, man. To the mall I went. I was just walking around. This is being guided by the Holy Ghost. Looking to be a blessing and people don't even know it. Have no concept. All of a sudden, just find that right prayer. I said, is that her or is that him? That's it. Okay. Yeah. And people go, oh, you don't have to. I said, well, I have to. I'd be in disobedience if I didn't. You see, that's knowing and understanding him. So when I've been putting a rock in a hard place, and let me close with this, which means you're in a situation where you're going to have to stand up for God or stand up for one of his doctrines. When people begin to hit you in a public place with very hard questions, what do you do? See, it's how you say something. It's really not what you say, it's how you say it. And I've been hit pretty hard. Well, Brother Jesse, do you believe all homosexuals are going to hell? I said, there are a lot of heterosexuals going to hell, too. There's a bunch of H's in hell. I said, first thing I say is, I said, what's the difference in homosexual sex and fornication and adultery and heterosexual sex? Isn't it called sin? Amen. Now, I've had some homosexual people say, well, bless God, you don't love me. No, you said that. I didn't say that. Amen. See, I'm just going to tell you, if God wouldn't have said nothing about it, ain't none of my business. But he did say something about it. See, there's some things God said that I don't particularly care for. But that's okay. That's his plan. Amen. He says, vengeance is mine. No, let it be mine, Lord. You take too long. Well, you like to have a little vengeance every once in a while. Let's just get in the flesh here for a minute. Let's be honest. Just let me slap him once, Lord Jesus. Just one. I got hit with the Ray Nagin statement the other day. I came back and this person said, this is supposed to be a chocolate city. I said, I like chocolate. I don't care.
Amen.
I like chocolate. I like vanilla. I like strawberry.
Amen.
See, I'm all temperature. I can work in cold, warm, or hot. It doesn't make no difference. I like everybody. I don't care. One person said, "Oh, God, man, this city will have to turn into a Hispanic city." Well, bless God, we're finally going to get some good Mexican food. Got to look at the bright side of things. You know what I'm saying? Glory to God. Well, just suppose it turns all into a bunch of Italian. Well, we're going to have some wonderful Italian food, and they're going to make us an offer we can't refuse. What's wrong with that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't have a problem with any of that. Never have. Why? Because, you see, if I know God, then I know man. Because man was created by God. So I don't see a black man as a black man. I see him as a man. I don't see a white man as a white man. I see him as a man. I just see him as a man. You understand that? Or a woman. Don't make no difference to me what color you are. I could care less. I don't even see you as fat. I don't see you as skinny. I don't see you as ugly. I don't see you as pretty. I just see who you are. That's fine with me.
Hallelujah.
That's fine with me. Because if you like you, Jesse like you.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? That's just how I am. Now, everybody has different cultures, and that's fine with me. And I know some of y'all ain't handling this too good. That's okay. You get over it. Some of you like a lady's hair long. Some of you like it short. Some of you ladies like men's hair real curly. Some of you want to shave. That's fine. You know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Some people are blind as far as I'm concerned. But, I mean, you know, that ain't none of my business. You know, glory to God. You know, there's some people ugly to the bone. I mean, just ugly. But that ain't none of my business because whoever's with them don't think they are. And just be honest.
Yeah.
See, I just made my mind. If you like you, I like you. I ain't putting you under no pressure. You've had enough pressure in life.
Yeah.
I want to put you under some peace.
Yeah.
Glory to God. You see what I'm saying? That's following. That's knowing Christ. So when Christ comes, I don't go, Or when the gifts of the Spirit starts moving, I don't say this, "Oh, Jesus, don't send him back here, Lord. For God's sake. Oh, or start repenting. Lord, forgive me. Please, I do the sign of the cross. Forgive me, Jesus. Oh, Lord, he's going to come get me. Expose everything I did." Well, that could happen. But if it was done for the, because God loved you. You see, I just tell people what the Lord said. They say, "We don't believe that." That still doesn't change it. Still the truth. You're going to stand before God. You see what I'm saying? Me and Brother Copeland was talking the other day. He said something really blessed me. I said, "You know, Brother Copeland, in all the times that we've been together, I have adopted what you put into me years and years ago when I first heard your tapes," which would be, 1978, I guess. "I like the word debt-free, the words, you know." I said, "Well, I think I'm going to live debt-free." Everybody said, "You can't live debt-free." And I'll be honest with you, most of the people that Brother Copeland preached that do not live debt-free. But me and Kathy do. And you know what he said? He said, "It protected my flesh many, many times, Jesse." I love that. I said, "What do you mean, Brother Copeland?" He said, "There was times I wanted to do some things and I had the ability to borrow money. If I'd have borrowed money, I'd have missed God 100%. Now, there's nothing wrong with borrowing money. I don't want you to take that out of context. Nothing wrong with borrowing money. You know, hey, I mean, God give you, you know, you can borrow your money, build your house, but you don't have to pay 30 years for it. Just believe God for the payoff of that thing. There's nothing wrong with borrowing money. Don't misunderstand. But you see what he said, "You know what? I'm not," he said, "it protected me from a lot of things that I would have went wrong." And I thought, you know, that's probably true in myself also. Because me and Kathy hadn't borrowed money. We borrowed money years and years ago, but we hadn't borrowed money so many years, we never forgot. Fact, now, I got banks trying to find out my business in this area. What can we do for you? Nothing. Unless you want to give me money. Because I don't need you. You need me. See, they see potential in me. I'm not bragging on that. And they've asked. I mean, they come. "Well, you know, how can we serve you in your business affairs?" I can serve you. Just that simple. I don't mean that pridefully or arrogantly. Just simply the truth. See, I adopted that in my life. Now, if you want to adopt that into your life, it's not going to happen overnight. So don't get discouraged because it doesn't. Just keep believing God.
Amen.
But how long is it going to take? It don't matter how long it takes. You believe in God.
Amen.
So I don't get in a hurry. Faith and hurry are incompatible anyway. They'll fight each other. See, I just made up my mind. I like things done quickly. Don't misunderstand me. It's called time management. Amen. But that's okay. You know, I mean, I've been waiting on some things for years now, Kathy. You know, people think I get everything done right away. I mean, Rick and Christine, how long have we been talking about building that house? My Lord, Jesus, how many years? 10 years? I'd say, Kathy, at least 10 years. We're going to build our dream home. If you don't like big, well, I'm sorry. Because that's just Kathy's dream. We have paid off people's homes. We've paid off people's churches. You know, I paid off. Remember that church over there in North Louisiana? It's up in the West Monroe area or Shreveport area. On their dedication day, in the Bossier City area, on dedication day, I went and preached the dedication, Betty, and the Lord said, pay off this church. They had just signed their note for I don't know how many years. I cut them a check and paid cash for it. Guess what I got back? This is all paid for. Hey! See, that's knowing God. Me and Kathy didn't even blink. We said, let's pay off this church. God. Man, they just couldn't believe it. They just like to fell out. But you see, my destiny and destination was here. I knew how to get this paid off by paying something else off. Fulfill someone else's dream and your dream will be fulfilled. I know I'm preaching long, but do you understand what I'm saying? That's ending. That's that relationship. That's following him fully, freely, fearlessly, and faithfully. I did it with homes. I've done it with people's homes. Well, bless God. It's been 10 years, I guess, we've been believing. I had someone tell me the other day, y'all ain't going to build that, huh? You know why I haven't built it? Because I'm not settling less than God's best. I want trees. I want the right piece of property. And that's been the holdup. The money's in the bank for over 5 years, already paid for before it's ever built. But I want it done right. And other things like show up that Kathy may. I don't know what Kathy wants. I only want two things in that whole house: foyer and study. I said, build everything else you want, Mama. I want this foyer a certain way. I want my study a certain way. After that, you do what you want with it. Make no difference to me. Boy, she started drawing up. Lord Jesus. And then she got a little irritated. She said, Mom, that's been a long time. Well, I'm going to just go buy this piece. No, I don't want that. This is what I want. I'm believing God. I want this piece of property. I feel good about it. You see what I'm saying? Now I'm going to say something. I'm going to close. I have a right to it. Amen. I deserve it. Now, some people say, I don't believe it. I don't care. I deserve it, David. I deserve it, Ron. Amen. I've been faithful. Amen. I've been honorable, and I've lived holy. I'm a blessed man because I've been a blessing. And God honors me. And I'm going to show the world you can live debt-free. And if you follow me and you get around me, what's on me will come upon you. You mark my words, you'll look back and you'll train your children. And you'll start a debt-free generation thing that you've never seen before in their life. And then their homes will be debt-free. And your home, we want to be cutting your lifestyle back when you retire. Somebody shout, somebody. My God, my God. I'm preaching long. But I'll tell you what, I want to see you blessed. I think it's your time. You deserve it. Harvest is coming up. Don't let nobody talk you out. This ain't greed. It has nothing to do with greed. It has to do with obedience. Oh, Lord. Well, let me read one more scripture. Psalms 149, verse 4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. That's Psalms 149, verse 4. He taketh pleasure in his people. I love that. Psalms 119, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with a whole heart. That's following him freely, or fully, freely, fearlessly, and faithfully. That's what we do. That's what me and Kathy live for. We live to have another day to worship and praise God in all we set our hand to do. That doesn't mean we hadn't had struggles. That doesn't mean we hadn't had worries. That doesn't mean we hadn't been hit. And I know I'm preaching long, but I'm finishing right now. I know that. But I'm telling you one thing. God will do what he says. So if the devil going to try to defeat me with time, I'm going to outlive the boy. He going to hell and I'm going to heaven. He's going to eternal death. I'm going to eternal bliss. Did you enjoy it this morning? Give Jesus a hand clap for that. Stand to your feet. Come on. Give him a good... Come on now. Give him a standing ovation. Oh, glory. When you know and understand it. I'm not against you if you're a sinner. I may not like your lifestyle, but really I can't change that neither. It can take God and you to do that. It's amazing to me how far God's grace goes. It goes a lot further than mine. When I've given up on people, the Lord went the extra mile, Ron. I said, Lord, help me to have your grace. Help me. Let me always be in the right place at the right time so I can do the right thing. Help me, Lord. Take the person's hand next to you. Father, thank you today for saving and healing people. We already then had a healing service and it was so wonderful. Lord, if there's someone here that don't know you, I ask you to forgive them of all their sin. Everyone say this, Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sin, my iniquity and my trespass. I receive my forgiveness right now. I believe with my heart. I confess in my mouth that you rose from the dead. I am saved. Write my name in the Lamb's book of life. And today is my God day. I receive Christ into my life. Work, work, say it, work in my heart a newness that I've never had before. From this day forward, I will follow you fully, freely, fearlessly, and faithfully. I am your servant. You are my God. In Jesus' name I pray. Give him another hand clap today. Glory to God. Did you enjoy it today?